In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're having this talk on the Feast of the Epiphany of the Lord in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And we're reading from the Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, day 23. And the title is, What was not the astonishment of these Magi kings in recognizing that the divine infant recognized him as King of Heaven and of Earth? So Our Lady tells us, "Now, my child, another surprise, a new star shines under the vault of the heavens, and with its light, it is searching for adorers to lead them to recognize and to adore the baby Jesus." Now, this is very important for the little children, the Holy Divine Will. This new star is for us as well. What is Our Lady asking? She's saying, I want, as Jesus wants, people to recognize him, adore him, and to be with him. And this is why Eucharistic adoration is so essential for us. So these three individuals, each distant from the other, are touched by this new star and invested by a supernatural light to follow this new star, which leads them to the Grotto of Bethlehem, to the feet of baby Jesus. What was not the astonishment of these Magi kings in recognizing in that divine infant, the King of Heaven and the King of Earth? That's what we do when we go in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We're recognizing Jesus, the King of Heaven and the King of Earth. The one, as Our Lady says, who has come to save everyone. When the Magi were called in the act of adoring Jesus, enraptured by his celestial beauty, the newborn baby made his divinity shine forth from his little holy humanity, and the grotto turned into paradise. Now, when we go to adore Jesus, when we also will be enraptured by falling in love with our Eucharistic Lord. And where we are, no matter where we are, if we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, this in a way is turning into paradise for us. The more we fall in love with Jesus, the more we are in paradise on earth. And so much so that the Magi were not able to separate themselves from the feet of the divine infant. And it's the same thing for us. We want to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So they were not able to separate themselves from the feet of the divine infant, not before Jesus again withdrew the light of the divinity within his holy humanity. And this hiddenness is what he has for us in front of the Blessed Sacrament. He hides, he's hidden in our Eucharistic, in his Eucharistic presence. So Our Lady says, "And I, the Blessed Virgin Mary, exercising the office of mother, spoke at length of the descent of Jesus, the Word, and fortified the Magi in faith, hope, and charity, symbolized by the gifts that they were offering to Jesus." So it's this office of mother. She says to them who Jesus is, and it fortifies them in faith, hope, and charity. And these are, again, symbolized by the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I should say. And then they were full of joy. And this is the same thing for us. When we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, we become full of joy. "Then they withdrew to their regions to be the first propagators of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." So the Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will, day 24, says this, that you must know that the coming of the Magi kings caused the rumor in Jerusalem. And this is important. The same thing is happening today. When you go in front of the Blessed Sacrament, there's a rumor. I know some people that are going to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It's unusual for someone to do this. It should be every Catholic that wants to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But this rumor, like in Jerusalem, here you had the priests, here you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you had even the king, and they knew Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, but it was just a rumor. It didn't mean anything to them. And this is the same thing with the Eucharist. People are going to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, your family, and it doesn't mean anything to them. Okay, it's a rumor, you know? So Our Lady says this, "My dearest child, today, the heart of your Mama Mary is swollen with love and with sorrow." So it's always love and sorrow. "To the extent that I, Mary, cannot refrain from crying. You know, the coming of the Magi, kings, who caused the rumor in Jerusalem, asking for the new king." See, it's the same thing. You know, when you start the Eucharistic adoration in the church, in your parish, it's not many people know about it or want it. Okay. And what she's showing us is this rumor has to take on a full force, a full strength in your parish by you being there. And little by little, souls begin to understand, yes, we must spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. "And cruel Herod, for fear of being removed from his throne, had already given the order to kill my sweet Jesus," she says. "My dear life," she says, "together with all the other children. My child, what pain. Jesus, the one who has come to give life to everyone, to bring into the world the new era of peace, of happiness, and of grace. They want to kill him. What ingratitude, what perfidy. Ah, my child, to the extent reaches the blindness of the human will." See, the churches should be filled with Eucharistic people spending time in front of our Eucharistic Lord. John Paul II wanted in the 80s every parish to have Eucharistic adoration. Ah, my child, to what extent is the blindness of the human will, to the extent of becoming ferocious and tying the hands of the Creator himself and of becoming owner of Jesus, the one true God who created it. Give me, Our Lady said, the Blessed Virgin Mary, your compassion, my child, and try to calm the crying of the sweet baby Jesus. He cries because of human ingratitude, because only a newborn, they want to kill him dead. And so in order to save Jesus, Jesus, Joseph, and I, Mary, she says, are forced to flee. Dear St. Joseph had already been advised by the angel to leave for a foreign land. Accompany us, dear child. So Our Lady wants us to be with Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And she invites, first of all, Louisa to be part of this little family of Nazareth. Accompany us. Do not leave us alone. And the Blessed Virgin Mary shall continue to give you my lessons on the great evils of the human will. So we have to begin to understand, when we go to confession, that's what we confess. We confess our human will. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And the only one that can really turn us from that is Jesus. And when we're going to hear, it's the Blessed Mother too. She leads us to her son. It's always Jesus and Mary. How blessed Joseph was to be in the presence of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. And now this is important for Louisa to become the newborn. She needs to be near Jesus. She needs to be Mary. And when you're with Jesus, you're always with Mary. Remember when he was on the cross, he said, "Woman," as Adam said to Eve. Adam said to Eve, "You, Eve, are woman, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, blood of my blood." When Jesus went on the cross, he said to Mary, "Woman, I am your child. I am flesh of your flesh, bone of your bone, blood of your blood." So when you receive Holy Communion, you also are receiving Our Lady. It's always Jesus and Mary. It's never one or the other alone. So she says, accompany us, Louisa. Do not leave us alone. And this is why God wants us to be with him in the Blessed Sacrament, because Our Lady's there too. She's always with Jesus. The Blessed Virgin and Jesus shall continue to give you my lesson, she says, Our Lady's lessons of the great evils of the human will. So the next part is the Epiphany with the Queen of Heaven in the Kingdom of the Divine Will. And this is meditation number four. And again, the new star, this is essential to know. This star is for us as well. With its sweet glittering, calls the Magi to adore him, calls us, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, to adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Dearest child, you are right in saying that you see me, the Blessed Mother, as more beautiful. But you must know that when I, Mary, saw my son being circumcised and his blood pouring from the wound, I, Mary, loved that blood. I, Mary, loved that wound. And I, Mary, became mother twice, mother of my son and mother of his blood, of his cruel pain. Therefore, she says, I, the Blessed Mother, acquired a double right of maternity, a double right of graces before the Supreme Majesty, for myself and for all of mankind. This is why you see me, the Blessed Mother, as more beautiful. See, it's the oneness with Jesus that makes her beautiful. My child, how beautiful it is to do good. How beautiful it is to suffer in peace for the love of the one triune God who created us. This binds the divinity to the creature and gives the soul so much grace and love to the extent of drowning the soul. And that's why he says to us, I want you to dive into this infinite ocean of love, which is the divine will, and drown. Never leave me, Jesus says. Never be separated from me and my mother, the new Adam and the new Eve. This love and these graces cannot remain idle, but want to run to give love and graces to everyone, to make known the one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who was given so much. And she says, this is why I, Mary, felt the need to make my son known. She is the mother of God, Theotokos, the mother of God. Now, my blessed child, the divinity, who can deny nothing to the one who loves the divinity, makes a new star more beautiful and radiant. Now, this is for us. Arise, and it's going to arise under the blue heavens. And with its light, it goes in search of adorers. See, there is a star out there that is calling us to adore Jesus. It's an angel to say to the whole world with its mute glittering, the one who has come to save you is born. The one who has come to save you is born. Come to adore him. Come to know Jesus as your savior. This is why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This is a new beginning for all of humanity, and all that our God is asking of us is to say yes to what God is doing. God is doing this. And the star, that angel, is searching for adorers. And for everyone in the divine will, he's looking at each and every one of us, and he's saying, would you come to adore your Christ, your Savior? Would you come to know him more? See, this is a heavenly gift that God is giving us. As we look at the Epiphany, we look at the holy wise men, the Magi, God is saying to us, please come with us. Don't leave us alone anymore. Be with us. You know, enter into the image and likeness of God. But Our Lady says, by human ingratitude, among so many, only three people paid attention without considering the sacrifices, putting themselves on the path to follow the star. That's what we're going to do. We're going to put ourselves on the path to follow the star, to adore Jesus, to fall more in love with Jesus, to spend time with Jesus and Mary. And just the star guided these three kings along the path. So also my prayers, Our Lady says, my love, Our Lady says, my sighs, Our Lady says, and my graces in my desire of making known the celestial baby awaited the awaited one for centuries, for four millennium, like many stars descending into their hearts, illuminated these Magi's minds and guided their interiors in such a way, without yet knowing Jesus, they felt that they loved Jesus for the one for whom they were looking. See, this is for us. This star, this angel wants to descend into our hearts, to illuminate our minds and guide our interiors. Why? Because we are called by God to never leave him alone. And this is whom we're really looking for. A lot of people are looking for love in all the wrong places, because the only place where you have true love is Jesus and Mary. And these magi hasten their steps in order to reach and see the one whom they so much loved. And that's us. We love Jesus, but we have to learn how to love him even more by spending time with him. My dearest child, my heart of a mother rejoiced for the faithfulness. That's what God's looking for, to be with him. The correspondence, that's what God is looking for in us. The sacrifice of these magi kings to come to know, to come to adore Jesus. She says, my son, but I cannot hide you from you the secret sorrow of mine. Among many, only three. In the history of the centuries, how many times is this sorrow of mine and this human ingratitude not repeated? My son and I, Mary, she says, do nothing but make the star arise. They send the angels to us, one more beautiful than the other, to call some to know their creator God, some to be sanctified, some to rise again from sin, some to heroism of a sacrifice. And then she says, but do you want to know what these stars are? This is what you have to understand. The stars are a painful encounter that you go through, a truth that one comes to know a star, a love unrequited by other creatures as a star. A setback is a star. A suffering is a star. A disillusion is a star. An unexpected fortune is a star. And these are many stars which sheds light in the minds of souls, caressing them, and they want to make them find Jesus, the infant child, who is fidgeting with love, shivering with cold, seeking refuge in their hearts to be known and to be loved. But alas, I, she says, who hold Jesus in my arms, wait in vain for the stars to bring me humanity, bring the souls back to Jesus, in order to place Jesus in their hearts. And my maternity is restrained. My maternity is hindered. While I am the mother of Jesus, I am prevented from being the mother of all mankind because they are not around me and do not look for Jesus. So the stars hide and they remain in the Jerusalems of the world. There's rumors, not Bethlehem. They are without Jesus. What sorrow, my child, what sorrow. It takes correspondence, it takes fidelity, and it takes sacrifice to follow the stars, follow the angels. And if the Son of the Divine Will rises within the soul, how much attention does it not take? Otherwise, one remains in the darkness of the human will. We don't want to be in the human will anymore. We want to enter into the fullness of God's divine will. Now, my child, as the Magi entered Jerusalem, the holy Magi kings lost the star, but still they did not stop looking for Jesus. But as they went outside the city, the star reappeared and led them festive to the Grotto of Bethlehem. And I, Mary, received them with the love of a mother. That's what she's doing with us. And the dear baby Jesus looked at them with great love and majesty, letting his divinity shine through his little holy humanity. And bowing down, they knelt at his feet. That's what we would do in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And adoring and contemplating Jesus, the celestial beauty. They recognized him as true God. And that's what we do in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We're recognizing Jesus. It's not a place to read a book. It's not a place to pray your prayers. It's a place to fall in love with Jesus, to adore him, to contemplate him, to recognize him. And what does she say? The Magi remained enraptured, ecstatic, enjoying Jesus. So much so that the baby Jesus had to withdraw his divinity into his holy humanity. Otherwise, the Magi would have remained there, unable to move from his divine feet. And that's what Jesus is doing with us. He hides his divinity, withdraws his divinity into his holy humanity. Otherwise, we would be in so awe of God, we would not be able to move. We would be so focused on God, loving God. Then as they came around from their rapture, in which they offered the gold of their souls, the incense of their faith, and the adoration of the myrrh of all of humanity, of their being, and of any sacrifice that Jesus might have wanted, they added the offering of the eternal gifts, symbolized of their interior acts, gold and incense and myrrh, the gold of their souls, the incense of their faith, the myrrh of all who they are. But my love of a mother was not yet content. I, Mary, wanted to place sweet baby Jesus in their arms, and oh, with how much love did they kiss him and press him to their chests. You remember, every Christmas, the Holy Father kisses the baby Jesus, the image of the baby Jesus. And Jesus said, basically, to the saints, you know, I accept your kiss. When you kiss the cross of Jesus, he says, I accept your kiss as if you're actually kissing me. I accept your kiss when you kiss the baby Jesus as you're actually kissing me. This is our God. They felt paradise in advance. That's what happens with us in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Within them, we felt paradise within them. And through this, she says, my son bound all the Gentile nations to the knowledge of their true God and placed the goods of redemption, the return back to the faith of all the peoples in common for all the peoples. And Jesus constituted himself king of the dominators, king and ruler over all, with the weapons of his love, the weapons of his pain, the weapon of his tears. And he, Jesus, called the kingdom of his divine will upon earth. And I, your mama, wanted to be the first apostle. I, Mary, instructed the Magi. I told them the story of my soul, my son, of his ardent love. I recommended that they make him known to everyone and assuming the first place of mother and queen of all the apostles. I blessed them, and I had them blessed by my dear baby Jesus. And happy in tears, they left again for their regions. But I did not leave them. I, Mary, accompanied them with my maternal affection to repay them. You have to understand, when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, Our Lady will repay you for that. Your prayers will be answered. I let them feel Jesus in their hearts. And that's what Our Lady is doing. How happy they were. And you must know that only when I see that my son has dominion, possession, and forms a perennial dwelling in the hearts of those who search for him and love him. We have to search for Jesus. Knock and it will be open. Seek and you will find. Ask and it will be given to you. You have to search for Jesus. That's why we go to the Eucharistic adoration, looking, searching. Only then, she says, do I feel that she is true mother of humanity. Now a little word to you, my child. She talks to Luisa. If you want me to act as your true mother, let me place Jesus in your heart. That's the very first thing we do in the divine will. We ask Jesus to be the Lord of our heart. You shall make him happy with your love, and you shall feed him with the food of his divine will, because he takes no other food. So you think about it. You think about all that God has given us. You know, the three breads. The third bread is your wonder bread, the bread that you eat every day. The second bread is for fewer people. That's to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord, to receive our Eucharistic Lord, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist. But the third bread, the first bread, is a rarity, because this is the bread that Jesus eats. This is the bread that Adam fed. He fed himself with this divine will. This is the bread that Our Lady fed. This is what she ate as well. You shall feed him with the food of his divine will, because he takes no other food. And you shall clothe him. This is so amazing. With the sanctity of your works. And I, Mary, shall come into your hearts. I, the Blessed Mother, shall raise my dear child again together with you. And I, Mary, shall perform for you and for Jesus the office of mother. In this way, I, Mary, shall feel the pure joys of my maternal fecundity. You must know that anything which does not begin with Jesus, who is inside the heart, even though it might be the most beautiful works on the outside, cannot please me. Why? Because they are empty of the life of my dear son. So Jesus says, you know, the first thing you do in the divine will is let the Lord be the Lord of your heart. And Our Lady says she will also make the Lord be reigning in your heart. She's going to do this. And she's going to raise you and me together with Jesus. So on volume three, January 6th, 1900. Today is Epiphany and the example of the Holy Magi. I, Luisa, was to offer something to baby Jesus, and that is confidence. That's what we offer to Jesus. Confidence in him, trust in him, believe in him. And this, he says, is the staircase to ascend to the divinity. This morning, she says, I received Holy Communion, and as I found myself together with Jesus and the Queen Mama, she says, was also there. Oh, marvel. I looked at Mother Mary, and I could see her heart transmuted into baby Jesus. This transmutation is essential. This is what God wants to do for us. I looked at the Son, and I could see the mother in the heart of the baby. In the meantime, I remember that today is the Epiphany. And in the example of the Holy Magi, I was to offer something to the baby Jesus. What did you offer to Jesus today? I mean, this is Our Lady's showing us this to Luisa. So in seeing my misery, Luisa says, a thought came to me of offering my body as myrrh. So this is the first thing. Offer your body to Jesus. With all the sufferings that you've gone through, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings, as Luisa did with her 12 years in which she had been in bed, and ready to suffer and to remain there in bed much longer as Jesus pleased. And as gold, that the pain that I feel when he deprives me of his presence, which is the most painful and the most sorrowful thing for me, Luisa says. And as incense, my poor prayers, but I want to unite them to the prayers of my Queen Mama so that they might be more pleasing to the baby Jesus. So I made the offering with full confidence that the baby Jesus would accept everything, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Jesus seemed to accept my poor offerings with great pleasure. But that which he enjoyed the most was the confidence which I, Luisa, had offered them. Jesus said to me, confidence has two arms. Number one, confidence embraces my holy humanity. And confidence uses my humanity as a staircase in order to ascend to my divinity. That's the first thing you have to know. Confidence in God, trust in God, belief in God. With the other, confidence embraces the divinity and draws the celestial graces and torrents in such a way that the soul remains all inundated within the divine being. When the soul is confident, the soul is certain to obtain what the soul asks for. And I, Jesus, let my arms be bound. I, Jesus, let the soul do whatever she wants. I, Jesus, let her penetrate even into my heart. And I, Jesus, let her take by herself that which she has asked from me. If I, Jesus, did not do so, I would feel myself in the state of violence. He says, I can't do this. I can't go against what I want to give to my children. Volume 4, January 6th, 1901. Jesus communicates himself to the three holy magi through love, through beauty, and through power. As the holy magi arrived at the Grotto of Bethlehem, they arrived in the presence of the baby Jesus. That's what we're doing in the front of the Eucharist. We're arriving in the presence of the Lord, our Savior, our King, our Master, our God, our spouse. And Jesus was pleased that the rays of his divinity shine externally, communicating himself to the Magi in three ways. Now, this is what God is doing with us every time we show up in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Through love, through beauty, and through power. That the Holy Magi remain enraptured, engrossed in the presence of the Lord. So much so that if the Lord had not withdrawn the rays of his divinity internally, again, they would have remained there forever, unable to move anymore. And then as the baby Jesus withdrew his divinity, the holy magi returned into themselves. They stirred themselves, stupefied in seeing the excess of love so great, because that through that light, the Lord had let them understand the mystery of the incarnation. And they see, that's what's happening. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you're being illuminated by God himself. He's teaching you things that nobody else can teach you. The Lord himself let them understand the mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of suffering, the mystery of the life of Jesus and Mary. When they stood up and they offered the gifts to the Queen Mother, Our Lady spoke, and Our Lady said strongly, not only of their own salvation, but also taking to heart the salvation of all the people, having no fear even to lay down your lives in order to obtain the intent of salvation. God is going to use us in the same way. Your family might be away from the church, your neighbors, your coworkers, you know, even like you years ago. But God is going to give you the intent to obtain the intent of salvation, not only for you, but for all of humanity who loves Jesus. After this, I, Louisa, withdrew inside myself and found myself together with Jesus. And Jesus himself continued to speak about the Holy Magi, telling me, by having communicated myself to the Magi in three ways, I, Jesus, attained three effects for them, because I, Jesus, never communicate myself to souls uselessly. Rather, they always receive some profit for themselves. So as I, Jesus, communicated myself through love, number one, they obtain detachment from themselves. Through beauty, they obtain the contempt for earthly things, and through the power of their hearts remained all bound to me, to heaven. And three, they obtain the bravery to lay down their blood and lives for me. We want this. This is what Jesus gave to Louisa. We want this as well. To detach from yourself, your human will, to obtain contempt for earthly things, and to remain bound to Jesus. And finally, to obtain the bravery to lay down your life, your blood for Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be worried about. There's nothing to be anxious about. There's nothing to be complaining about. There is nothing to be negative about. And then he added, and this is what he says to us, and you, what do you want? Tell me, do you love me? This is Jesus speaking directly to you through Louisa. How would you want to love me? that these questions are for each and every one of us. What do you want? Tell me, Jesus says. Do you love me? Jesus asks. How would you want to love me? Jesus asks. And then we want to respond the way Louisa did. Not knowing what to say, I said, Lord, I would want nothing but you. Nothing but you. And if you say to me, do you love me? I have no words to be able to manifest it. I can only say that I feel this passion that no one may be able to prevail over me in loving you. See, this is what Jesus has given us. The love that is in your heart, no one else can give to God. And that's what she's saying. She says, I feel this passion that no one may be able to prevail over my love for you, Jesus. This is why we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. No one would be able to surpass my love for you, Jesus. See, that's why Jesus says, you can love me 30, 60, or 100 fold. What do you want? It's really up to each and every one of us. That's why when you read the divine will, Jesus is going to be speaking to you, and Louise is going to be speaking for us. And we have to echo what Jesus has given to Louisa. So Jesus says, but this, Louisa said, but this does not yet contend me yet. In order to be content, I would want to love you, Jesus, with your own love. I don't want to love Jesus humanly. I want to love Jesus with his own love. That's why we spend time with him. Each day, all the apostles, would you spend 1 hour with me out of 24 hours? Can we not do that? That this is the New Year's resolution. This is what Jesus is asking. Don't leave me alone. Don't leave my mother alone. I would want to love you, Jesus, with your own I love you, so that I may be able to love you as you love yourself. Yes. Then only then would my concerns about loving you cease. And then what happens? Content Jesus clasped Louisa so tightly to himself that Louisa could see herself transmuted in him inside and out. That's what transmutation is. What does this mean? Well, we're going to have a glorified body. That's the outside. But the inside is going to be in God's image and likeness. That's what he did with Adam. That's the life of Jesus. That's the life of Mary. And that's what he wants. He wants to transmute us in him, inside and out. When you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, say those words to Jesus. This is what Louisa said. I want to see myself transmuted in you, Jesus, inside and out. I want to echo what Louisa said. I want to receive what Louisa received. This is why we celebrate Epiphany. It's going to be changing us inside and out. He's going to transmute us inside and out. And Jesus communicated part of his love to me, just a speck of it. It's infinite. For as much love as I am given, so much do I possess, my good Jesus. If I love Jesus little, I possess Jesus little. This is why when you're with him, you want to love him that no one else can love him the way you can love him. And you want to make that the greatest love that God can receive from you. He's allowing you to do this if you wish. There's no limit. That's how much he loves you. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in the name of Jesus, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and this feast day of Epiphany of the Lord and the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.